You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church, Ross on Wye. To find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
My name's Tony. I'm one of the elders at of Christian Life Church. So that's the eldership that covers all the churches that we've now planted over the last few years, including this fantastic church here, in Ross. Been part of Christian Life Church since we moved up to Hereford, well, Leinster originally, in 1989. Yeah, I know. So we've been part of this, you know, part of this journey, you know, for some time, and many of you have been on the same journey as we have, which is absolutely fantastic. We're looking at the moment at this, the Great Commission. And I know Knut shared last week about the go and what it means to go. But I want to start by looking again at the scripture that we are all looking at together. So if we go to this, the Great Commission. I just want to read it again, just a reminder. So it's Matthew 28, 16, 20. It says this: "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus has told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age.'" Now, in Hereford, we've been working our way through the various elements of this, and I was asked to share on quite a small bit, but it's really quite a big bit. And the element I've been asked to share on is the make disciples of all nations. Just that bit, you know. And so when we look at this, we can split it into two parts. You've got the make disciples bit and you've got the of all nations bit. Okay? So I'm going to look at those in that way. So first of all, making disciples. What are we here to do? That's what we are to do. We are here to make disciples. That is the commission. Okay? But then you've got the other bit, all nations. Now, I've not said, well, all nations. I think Knut picked this up last time. It's not necessarily about where we go, but about who we go to. Okay? And I'll pick that one up at the end. Well, let's look first at making disciples. What is this making disciples all about? What does it mean to make a disciple? Well, I know for many of us, certainly for me, making a disciple often is the hardest bit, because it's the bit that we feel most inadequate to do. Make disciples. You know, there's a sense that it's for us to go out there and convert people, turn them to Christianity, and that if we don't do that, we've somehow failed as a Christian. And certainly you can get that sense of, I just don't feel equipped. I just don't feel it's me, you know. And what I want us to say first, of what I want to say, encourage every one of us here, that as we are called to go, so we are already equipped to go. Okay? God isn't going to call us to do something unless he's given us everything we need to do it. Okay? So if we have a commission to go, it's because God has equipped us to go. So if he's equipped us, then what does that look like? You see, when Jesus sent out the 12 and then sent out the 72, they were disciples. They were already disciples of him. And they sent him, he sent them out to go and make disciples. But he didn't do a 12-week intensive training course first. Yeah, he didn't spend weeks saying, right, I'm going to give you a five-part plan on how to do this. Didn't give them a study guide or anything. He just said, guys, go. But what he did do is he said to them, I give you my power and my authority. I send you in my power and my authority. What you mentioned just now earlier when we were praying, power and authority. You see, they had everything else. They were equipped already, but they needed his power and in his authority. And so that was the one thing he gave them they didn't have when they went out. And it's the same for us. We've got everything we need to go and make disciples. But we need to remember that when we go out in his power and in his authority. And that's what makes the difference. But the question is, how were they equipped? Because you know what I want to know is, well, what did Jesus do? Because if Jesus made disciples of them, which he did, how did he do it? Because I want to do it the way he did it. Yeah? And I'm sure that's the way you want to do it. You know, we want to do it the way Jesus did, because that's why he came. He came to show us how to live, how to do you know, what it meant to be a Christian. And so to help us look at that, I want to sort of break down a scripture. There's a scripture that I found which talks about what it means to be a disciple. And it goes right back to the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. And he said this, he said something we're very familiar with. Put that one, I think the next one up on there. He says, follow, yeah, so a disciple, someone who is following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and is committed to the mission of Jesus. Now, where do I get that from? Well, I get that from Matthew, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. When he calls his first disciples, he says this, and we're all familiar with it. He says this, he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You see, follow me, the first bit, we become disciples first. That's fundamental, isn't it? Before we can make disciples, we have to be disciples of Jesus. We have to follow him first. And that is why I imagine pretty much all of you are here. And if you're not a disciple of Jesus already, if you're not a follower of him and you're here, you need to be a follower, which is great. But to be a follower of Jesus is our first call. We become disciples first. But then he goes on to say, I will make you. Ooh. Jesus is going to work on us. I will make you. And how did he do it with them? Well, he did it with them by walking with them. He talked with them and he prayed with them. Walk, talk, pray. That's how he made disciples. In its simplest form, the people that followed him, he just said, come, just walk with me. Let's talk together. Let's do life together. Let's pray together. And then do the same when you go. When you go out, you walk with people, you talk with people, and you pray with people. And that's how you make disciples, because that's how Jesus made disciples. And so it really is quite a simple thing to do. And that's all I believe God is calling us to do, is to walk with people. And I shared last week my testimony of how I became a Christian. And I want to share it again because I know some of you have heard it, and I apologize. But for some of you who haven't heard it, it was only when I was doing this I realized that the person who brought me to Christ, the person who introduced him to me, did exactly this, and I didn't even realize. Yeah. And it was a guy called William Dalziel. And he, way back in my previous existence, before I was into teaching, I was in financial services. And I was working for an insurance company, and I had a number of brokers in the area in South Wales where we were living at the time. And it was there that William set up his own business, and he was a broker, an insurance broker. And he was on my patch. So he was one of the people I had to go and see, introduce myself to him in the hope, you know, this is before I was a Christian, so, you know, but in the hope that he would give me his business. So there was total ulterior motive in everything I did with him, all right? Just bear that in mind, all right? So, first thing he does is he says, right, come on, let's go for lunch. I said, okay, it's great, come on, yeah. He says, I'm going to explain, I want to tell you. And during lunch, he said, I want to tell you why I'm doing this. I said, well, I presume to make money. That's what most people do it for. He said, I'm doing this for the kingdom of God. I thought, ooh, that's a bit weird. You're doing this for the kingdom of God? He said, yeah, I'm doing this for the kingdom of God. Now, I'd previously been to church. I was brought up as a Roman Catholic. So I understood a lot of what he was saying. But at that point, I wasn't walking that. I wasn't a Christian. I had no faith. I didn't believe in it. But at the point, I thought, well, do you know what? Whatever floats your boat. If that's, you know, I'll go along with whatever you want, as long as you give me your business. Yeah? Because I would earn commission. And I would get money and, you know, I'd be better off. Fine. But it got me thinking almost straight away. He introduced me to his faith. Straight away, I knew this guy was different. I knew there was something about him that was different. And then over the months and over the years, he did become one of my best supporting brokers. But more than that, he became a really good friend. He was walking with me. He was just walking with me. And he would talk to me about his faith, and he would talk to me about things, and he'd invite us along to things. And he wasn't doing anything particularly, there was no real push of or preaching the gospel to me. He was just being with me. He was just building relationship. And that's what Jesus did. But he showed through his life the kingdom of God, which is what Jesus did. He showed through his life the kingdom of God to his disciples. The kingdom of God is near. You could see it in Jesus. The kingdom of God was near when I saw it in William. Yeah, that was all he was doing. But the final bit, so he was walking with me. He was talking with me about his faith in his life. And he was praying for me, although I didn't know it. It was only after I came to faith, Leslie and I came to faith, that we were talking one day, and he said, you do realize that we were praying for you the whole time. And I said, no. He said, what you didn't know then was that when I, because he used to have an office, and his office was in his warehouse that he was renting from another guy who was also a very, very, you know, very big businessman who was also in the same church, and he was renting this. All the people that worked for him were all from the same church. I had no idea. So when I went into their office and we'd have our conversation, we'd have our chat, and we'd do what we did business-wise, I'd get my case and I'd walk out the door. They would all stop what they were doing and they would pray for me by name. And when he told me that, I went, whoa, a bit underhand. You know, but I had no idea. They were praying for me by name. I thought, wow, you would do that for me? Yeah. Well, look where we are now. And so he walked, he talked, and he prayed for me. And then there was a day when he prayed with me. You know, that was fantastic. And it wasn't a difficult thing for him to do because he was just sharing his life, but his life with Jesus. And that's what we could see. And that's what made the difference. So when it came to us, and one day somebody else actually said, it wasn't even him, bless his cotton socks. It wasn't even him that led us to Christ in the end. Actually, it was somebody else who said, you know, in a completely different context. asked us the question, do you want to know Jesus? We went, well, yeah, actually we do. It made sense because of what we had seen in him. And so making disciples really isn't difficult, because we just have to walk with people, talk with people, and pray with people. So I hope that's taken a bit of the sort of pressure off. Yeah? Because wherever we are, whatever we do, in a way, that's all we're being asked to do. Which leads me on to the second part. And the second part of this is the All Nations. Now, I looked at All Nations, and I thought, All Nations shouldn't be a difficult thing. The amount of stuff on the definition of All Nations. There are so many things, people writing whole theses on what it means in All Nations, and ethnicity and everything else, and people groups, and na, 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 na. I thought, oh my word, can't we keep it simple, please? So I came up and I looked at it and I found the Greek, the original Greek. I think, did I put it on there? Yeah, there we go. Now, I'm sorry, I do apologize for my pronunciation. Panta ta ethne. Now, ethne, we get our word ethnic, okay? But it means, in its simplest, purest form, it means all peoples. That's it, all peoples. So it's not a particularly difficult thing. So although we often talk about it as go to all nations, and we can talk about it going to other countries, all different nations of the world. In fact, well, for a start, there's only one true sort of race, as it were, and that's the human race. And that's the human race that God created. So we're all from the same, you know, the same mold when it comes to that. It's not just about foreign missions, as good as they are, and we'll come to Brazil in a minute. It's not just about other countries. It's about all peoples everywhere. Okay? And that's the thing we need to lay hold of. In fact, it was the same word, pantata ethne, or the same words, used in other contexts, in Matthew and in Romans, Paul refers to it when he's talking about the Gentile church. So what they're saying is, basically, all people who are not Jews. Because the Jews are chosen people anyway, so they already got it. They already had it, okay? They were God's chosen people. So they were then talking about Gentiles. So it also refers to Gentiles, which is basically everybody else in the whole wide world who are not Jews. Okay, so Jesus is saying that the good news is for everyone. It really is that simple. Okay, so he's given us a model for how to do it. Walk, talk, pray. He's given us basically the power and authority to do that with all people. But I believe we are called to be where we are for purpose, where we are. Yeah? I think, you know, this church is here for purpose. We are here, part of this church, for purpose. God has called us here at this time to walk, talk, and pray with the people that we can connect with, that are in part of our lives. Just like William did with me. Now, I don't know if you've managed to listen to any of the other preachers elsewhere or any of the things that are, but in Hereford, we've had some fantastic testimony of different people and their walk, their go. Okay? And, you know, you've got some people here. You know, these guys. You know, God called these guys. J.P. Powler. He called them to go. Well, where have they gone? Well, they've come here. You know, they've come here. There was a call on their lives, which they have just followed. Beth, you all know Beth? Beth Rudge? Called to go to South Africa. But then she's been called back again. Yeah? She's been called back again. Don't know if anyone's knows Esther Rudge? So last couple of weeks ago, Esther shared about one of the things that goes on in Hereford, street pastors. Have you heard of that? Some of you have heard of that? Okay, there's street pastors, and there's all sorts of other things linked into that. Are there any of you here street pastors? I know some have been in the past. Yeah? Okay. But there's a call to go. You know, you don't have to do it abroad. There's a city, there's a town, there are villages crying out to hear about and know about Jesus Christ. So, you know, but some are called to go. But some are called to stay and go here. Yeah? To their go is here. Now, I've gone through quite quickly because I want to come to something that I believe is prophetic, and I believe God wants to bring back to the church, to Christian Life Church. And when I say Christian Life Church, I mean the whole of the Christian Life Church, whether it's Leinster, Ledbury, Hereford, Ross. Okay? Last week, Leslie was sharing in Hereford on the go, and she talked about, and she brought a prophetic word that we were coming to a due season. Now, for me, when she said that, it immediately reminded me of a prophetic word that God gave us a number of years ago as a church, before this church had been planted, before Leinster had been planted, before Ledbury had been prayed into. God brought a word for the church. But I believe this word, which I'm going to share with you, I'm going to pray for, is just as relevant to here as it is to, you know, I say the big smoke. It's hardly a big smoke, is it? But, you know, Hereford. It is for us here to lay hold of. Okay? Now, there are many people here who were in the church when this word was brought. So you're carrying this word. I believe you're carrying it. I believe it's there. It's in you. You know, you guys, you know, you were in the church when this was brought. So I think, you know, in a way you're carrying the seed of a word that God wants to bring to everyone. So I want to share this word because I believe it's part of where God wants to take us in terms of our go as a church. And the call upon this church, the call and the commission on this church. Okay, so I'm going to read it. It's quite long, okay, but I want us to look at what God said. And one of the reasons why I believe it's important is because I don't believe we are yet in the fullness of it. You know, we are looking at words that God has given us thousands of years ago. It's called the Bible. And we still know that part of it hasn't been fulfilled. We're still walking it through. We're still on that journey with him. Yet we know his word will come to pass. Amen? And so if we know now on the words that are in the Bible, there are sometimes prophetic words that I believe we need to lay hold of and continue to press into and lay hold of and see until we see it come to fruition. And this is one of them. Okay. How am I doing for time, guys? Am I right? So, prophetic word to the church. Okay, so God is positioning you, the church, to come out of one season and come into another season in terms of his purposes and in terms of his plans for you. I really want to encourage you that your best days are ahead of you. Your best days are ahead of you. God is going to do some exciting things in the city of Hereford. Well, he has. Pastors, all sorts of stuff. Yeah, street pastors. There's a lot of stuff going on which didn't exist back then when this was given. And he wants to use this church as a platform together with many other churches, I am sure. But he wants to use something quite unique in this church in terms of touching and changing the lives of people in Hereford, and I believe, obviously, not just Hereford, I believe, you know, beyond, obviously, into Ross, into the county, and beyond. I have loved the sense of warmth, the sense of family that's in this church. And I want to encourage you in the next season, as many people from different backgrounds, different social groups, different hairstyles, different creativities, different ear piercings and piercings all over, beggars the thought, doesn't it? Begin to join with church. And family will be the thing that holds them here. So I believe there is a key we've got to work at and unlock, being family together. That's very much part of our DNA, is that we are family, okay? All generations, okay? We're all important in this. Because you are going to get a whole lot of people that aren't going to look like you or smell like you. Or even talk like you. That's going to require us being family together. Isn't that always a challenge? When you get people that aren't... don't know about that. When you get people coming in who clearly aren't in the same social class as you. Let's be honest. We're comfortable with people that we have, you know. We know who we're comfortable with, don't we? Yeah? You know, if I look around now, I'd still say we're a middle-class church. I'd go to Hereford, I'd say we're a middle-class church. And yet God has called you, and I'm thinking about here in particular Tudorville, it's not a middle-class area. These are the people that are going to walk through this door, that are going to walk through this door, and we've got to see them as family because God is telling us to. I think you are on the edge of breaking through into the next season of what God has for you, and I believe it's going to be very exciting. So, due season. We're coming to that time. Then it goes on. I want to say over this church that he is transitioning you to become a resource church. God is going to begin to use this church to resource projects in the nations. So there is a nations element here. You know, we're not just called to here, we are called to the nations. God is going to use this church to resource church plants and gifted ministries in the nations. God is going to begin to use you as a church to begin to unlock kingdom treasures in many different places that will act as resources for mission. I believe God wants to shape your church to begin to see yourself differently. It's not just going to be a pastoral church that will look after one another, which is great. But it is going to be a church that is going to have a big picture of the nations. God is going to begin to use you to unlock opportunities of gospel advance in many nations. The Lord wants to say that your connections with Brazil is not by coincidence, but by design. And God will give you favor into some nations there. We're already looking at things like Mozambique and stuff. This is God's doing. God's doing. You know, he had no idea. God did. Into places there, and he is going to begin to release a dual blessing for them and for you. God is going to begin to do a significant move of the Holy Spirit amongst your young people. There's going to be a demographic change in this church. Suddenly, you know, I love God's suddenlies. I love the suddenlies because it's not suddenly to him, it's just suddenly to us. Yeah, he's known from the beginning, but it's a suddenly to us. But suddenly, God is going to begin to add many young people from the ages of 15 to 25 in this community. And I believe there are some schools that are going to open, particularly a big school is going to open up for you where you'll be able to get into and be able to run programs and begin to open, give you an open door for the gospel. Which school are we in? John Curl. Come on. It's before we even had a plant here. God knows. This is God's doing. We've got to see what God is doing, the journey he is taking us on, and know that we're part of that journey. I love it. Okay. I've lost my place. God is going to begin to add to you young professionals who have become disillusioned with the rat race. They're going to find themselves here and they'll begin to say, surely we have found God because we've seen something we can give our lives to. I believe there's going to be a new emphasis on the work amongst the poor. in this church, that you will have an understanding how to get into some areas and how to advance things. There's going to be significant work that's going to impact single women, single mothers, abused women. God will give you favor in this church to do with marriage. There will be an anointing on this church for helping marriages. It's almost like there's been an attack in the past in this area, and God is about to redeem it. Many people will come here broken and hurting and find their partners and establish kingdom families as a result. We've gone from the nations to single mums. That's the breadth of God's heart. And that's also the breadth of our call. You see, I don't know when I look at people where your go is. But you do. And if you don't, ask God. Who am I supposed to walk with? Who am I supposed to talk with? Who am I supposed to pray with? Am I supposed to go somewhere? Or am I supposed to stay here? Where do I play my part? But I really believe God wants to recommission and put fresh faith into us as a church for the go that he's got in our lives, that he's put in us. Yeah? And I just have that sense that God's pushing again. It's that push. It's that due season that God is bringing us into. See, it's not a coincidence that we're now doing this. We're looking at this, go and make disciples, and the Great Commission. Because God gave us this at the beginning of the year. And if God has given us this, then it's something we got to press into. Yeah, together. You see, it's only when we go out that they will come in. We can spend every Sunday here, and it's fantastic, but that's not our commission, that's not our call. Our call is not to come here every Sunday, worship him, and go off and live our lives. Our call is to go, walk, talk, and pray with people, and then one day they'll come through here. They will only come in, all these people, all those different types of people, when we are the ones that start to walk with them and talk with them and pray with them. It's a challenge, but that's the challenge we've got. You see, God doesn't do it any other way. He hasn't chosen to just meet with people, bang, bang, bang. Don't worry about you guys, just come and eat, it's fine. I'll just do it, I'll get on with it. He's chosen us to be his hands and his feet. As it says there, reach. We are to be the hands and feet of God in Herefordshire, the nation and the world. That is our call. We are the hands and feet of God. And so we need to get out there and walk and talk and pray with people to do that. That's it, really. That's it. You see, some of us are called to go to those in their own nation, in their own city, in their own town, in their own village, their own estate, neighborhood, street. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're called us for just for your street. Maybe it's for the neighbor next door. Maybe it's, you know, just people in that village. They all need to know Jesus Christ. Maybe it's your workplace. There's an amazing testimony, which I would love you to, if you get time, go onto the website, have a look. As a testimony done by one of the congregation in Hereford, Tracy Farr, about how she goes into her place of work and prays for people, you know, prays for healing, prays for, and bang, and she touches the lives of so many people. She goes around, it's a hospital, isn't it? She works in a hospital. But she has such a sense that that's her call. That's her place of mission. She says that. It's some fantastic stories. Listen, it'd be great. You know, is it your workplace? Is it the college where you work or you go to? Is it school? Is it your social groups? Some of us are called to go to the poor. Some of us are called to go to the hurting, the desolate, the homeless, the hungry, the sick, the disenfranchised. But we're all called to go. That's the thing. Not one of us here isn't called to go. We are all called to go. The question is of finding what that go is. And then walking in the power and authority of Jesus to enable us to fulfill that commission. Amen? Amen. I want to pray for us as a church, for you, for me. So if you want to hold your hands out, let's lay hold of what God has said over the church. Father, we just want to come right now and we say, Lord, we thank you that you've got a purpose for us. We thank you, Lord, that you have a plan, that you have a way that you want us to go and walk in, that we're on a journey with you to see this county saved for Jesus, to see many lives changed, many people becoming disciples of you and then making disciples of others, the way that Jesus showed us. Father, we want to change our perspective to become a people that go, a people that face out, not face in, a people that get your heart for every single type of person you mentioned, and then walk with the ones that you've told us to walk with, to talk with, and to pray with. Lord, I pray for a fresh faith to go. I also pray for you just to show us again that the power and authority that you have already given us to go and to walk amongst these people. Father, we're excited by what you are going to do this year. We're excited that you are pushing us forward into your plans and your purposes. Again, that you're reminding us of your word, your living, breathing word over your church. And your church is us. Your church is this people. That you've put your word deep in our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that word will bring fruit. Because it will not return to you empty. Because you have spoken it, it will be. But Lord, let us be the generation that takes this word and makes it into something, makes it into what you want it to be. That we see fruit. Oh, Father. Lord, we know we cannot do this without you. We say, Holy Spirit, will you come? Will you anoint? Just come fresh into our lives. Remind us where our go is. And if we don't know it, will you show us where our go is? Put a name, drop a name into our hearts. Drop a name. You know, it could be a family. It could be a friend. It could be a person at work. It could be a country. It could be a nation. Lord, will you put it into our hearts? Oh, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that you've chosen us to be your hands and your feet. Help us to walk it out in our lives. Just ask you that in Jesus' name. Amen.